Thank you. Just remain standing, if you will, and turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. Matthew, chapter number 3. I appreciate the songs already this morning by the congregation, the song special by the ladies, and just the good Spirit of God, amen, and Him allowing us to be able to come in and worship Him. And then the fact of the honoring the fathers, all that's wonderful and great. But I thank God for the Word of God. Amen. 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 Good on any occasion. And I believe that it'll help us on this occasion. Amen. I'm going to try to preach a Father's Day message this morning. And prayed about where to go. I actually intended on not doing it. I thought I'd just go ahead and go back to Revelation chapter 1 where we were at before. But I felt the nudge of the Lord to go ahead and preach a Father's Day sermon this morning. I hope that it be helpful. I don't think I'll be real long, but we'll try to just give you what the Lord's given us. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want to try to preach from verse 17 primarily this morning, and then I'll look at some other scriptures later. But verse 17, you've got the announcement of the Father. And so I've titled my message, The Heavenly Father, Every Dad's Example. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we thank the Lord this morning that we can be in the Lord's house.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let our preachers who preach to us give them the grace and the power and liberty and us in this evening today. Open our hearts today, Lord, to thee, and help us, I pray, to receive thy word. Bless every family that's here, bless every father, especially on the
yes, Lord.
In a special way, we thank you for doing that, save sinners.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Do want to pray for those that are not here with us this morning. Brother Foley is on vacation and had told me that he'd be gone today and Wednesday as well. And then Brother Chad and the children and Miss Becky and Miss Amanda and Josh. And we're missing them, so remember these in prayer, if you will. God might help there. All right. In the scripture that I read, this is not technically a Father's Day scripture, because it's not dealing with fathers as far as earthly fathers with their son, but it is dealing with how the Heavenly Father spoke about His Son. And I want you to notice there in verse 17 who it is that's speaking. It is our Heavenly Father, a voice from heaven. And it is the Father, for He said, This is my beloved Son. You know how we know it's the Father? Because of the mention of the Son. You'll never get to the Father unless you go through the Son.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you'd never know the Father unless the Son reveals Him unto you. Amen. Jesus is the manifestation and the revelation, amen, of the Father. He's the one that comes to reveal that. But in our text, as soon as the baptism of Christ was fulfilled, the Father spoke from heaven and made this announcement. God chose this exact moment to verbally associate Himself with His Son. You remember in the earlier years when our Lord was 12 years old, and Mary came and Joseph, they were looking for Him, and He'd been gone from their company, and they'd sought for Him those days. And Mary said to Him, she said, Thy Father and I sought thee, and our Lord was quick to rebuke that Joseph was not His father. Amen. Our Lord said, No, you're not. I must be about my Father's business. He was not talking about Joseph. He was talking about God. And so our Lord associated Himself with the Father at 12 years of age. But God the Father never spoke forth and associated Himself with the Son until the beginning of His ministry. As the Son started manifesting the Father revealed Himself and verbally associated Himself with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the words which the Father spoke that day, we're given an example, I believe, of how a godly father deals with his children. In this passage, I see examples that every dad should follow. And I want to elaborate on those and give those as I go in. But by way of introduction, I read one time about some young men that had gone to a seminary. This was some years ago. And on the first day of the semester, the very first day of the semester, the professor handed out a questionnaire. It was a personal questionnaire that they were to fill out from their own personal experience. Many of the questions on that survey had to deal with that student's perception of their father, their earthly father, their perception of their relationship which they had with their earthly father. These surveys were collected and no more was said about it. Of course, it was not graded. It was not a graded test, but it was just a survey to find out where these men stood in relation to their earthly father. And so they were gathered in and nothing more was said about it. And then the students forgot about it through the rigorous training and the testing and all that went in into their first semester of study. That particular class was the study of the person of the first person of the Trinity, His attributes, His work, and His words. At the end of that semester, they said that the professor handed out a second questionnaire, a second survey. And in that again, he asked the students to answer this honestly and personally. And in that, their questions was to record their perception of God and their feelings about their relationship with God. The questions, in fact, were the same as the questions on the first questionnaire. They were about the Heavenly Father rather than about their earthly father. And that they were directed to think about God. When the professor returned both sets, after he looked at those and put the names with each other and laid those two surveys together, passed them back out to the students, both the students and the professor were amazed and astonished that even a whole semester of studying about the attributes of God, that they still saw God much the same way as they saw their earthly father. They reviewed their relationship with their Heavenly Father on much the same status and in much the same case as how they viewed their status with the Heavenly Father. Now, why is that? I believe it's because God chose to represent Himself as a Father that He might reveal Himself to us, and He gave us fathers that through that God might reveal Himself to us. Amen. And if that's so, and I believe it is, if God's chosen to call Himself Father, then and to help us understand a little bit about His nature, then surely fathers ought to represent a little bit of the nature of God. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. This message is not just for fathers. There'll be something in here for mothers. There'll be something in here for single people. Amen. There'll be something in here for every individual. And we ought to try to be more like God, more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want to look today at the thought, the Heavenly Father, every dad's example. Now, I've got four things that I want to bring out today. Just simple. They're not elaborate, but it might help you to think on these. First of all, I want to mention that the Father is not ashamed of the Son. Amen. The Father is not ashamed of the Son. I want you to notice in verse 17 that phrase. He said, "This is my beloved Son." Amen. "This is my Son." That's the phrase that I want you to notice there. It is akin to somebody saying, "That's my boy." Amen. You've seen it. You've heard it. A little boy gets up there and hits a home run and somebody jumps up and says, "That's my boy." Amen. Now, when he strikes out, they don't usually say, "That's my boy." But if he does something that they're proud of, amen, if he does something that gets him up, they are not ashamed of the Son. Now, I want to say this. When God the Father looked down upon God the Son as He's in that line getting ready to be baptized, by the way, all those men that were in line to get baptized by John the Baptist, you know what they were doing? The Bible said they were confessing their sins. At the River Jordan, John's baptizing them. Amen. There, it's a baptism of repentance, and they're coming confessing their sins. Jesus had no sins to confess. Amen. He had no faults to mention, thank God. But you know what he did when he stepped in line with the rest of those sinners? He was appointing himself among the transgressors. Amen. He was taking his place with the sinners. Amen. He was being recognized as a man. Amen. And God the Father was proud of him doing that. God the Father was pleased with him doing that. And was not ashamed of him. Amen. He was not ashamed. He said, "This is my beloved son." Amen. This is my son. That's my boy. Amen. Now I realize that Jesus always did those things which pleased the Father. Jesus never disappointed the Father. Amen. Not only is God the perfect Father, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect Son. Amen. Now I'll have to say we don't have perfect sons. And some of that may be because they don't have perfect dads. Amen. Amen. But sometimes children need to know that we love them. Amen. That we're not ashamed of them. Amen. We can learn from here that we ought to let our children know that we love them, that we're thankful for them, and that we're not ashamed. Amen. Sometimes children need to be reminded that we're glad they're part of the family. Amen. There was a young man that introduced me to my wife. He said to his son, when his son was 16 years old, on his son's 16th birthday, they sat down at the table and he said to him, he said, "Justin," he said, "you know what that means?" And Justin said, "No, what does that mean?" He said, "2 more years and I want you out of my house and out of my sight." I can't imagine a father that loves his children saying something like that. Amen. And I can imagine the hurt that must have been in that son's heart when his dad said such a thing. But sometimes we don't say it, but it's almost like we live that way. Boy, I can't wait till these children get out from under my feet. I can't wait till they get out of my way. I can't wait till they get out of my reach and I don't have to deal with them and fool with them. If you're not careful, you'll give them the attitude that they're not loved. Amen. Amen. And so we ought to let them know that we're glad they're part of our family. We ought to let them know we're grateful that they are our children. Amen. By the way, children usually measure up to what you expect of them. Amen. If you tell them they're worthless, they'll probably measure up to it. Amen. If you treat them like they're dummies, they may very well measure up to it. Amen. Don't treat your children like they're worthless. Don't treat them like they're a bunch of dummies. Be careful how you treat your children. Amen. I know we have to deal with disappointments. I know we have to deal with disobedience. Amen. But we should also give praises when they do something right. Amen. Amen. And I heard that one time a fellow, this man and his wife was going in for counseling. And the thing was that the man always complained about everything the wife did. And the counselor said, "You need to give praises when they do something right." And he said, "I will when she ever does." It's not that she never did anything right. He never saw it. Right, yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, Dad, sometimes we do overlook it. I recognize that. I'm not a perfect dad. And I'm not using myself as an illustration. But I am using God the Father as an illustration. And He is the perfect dad. And He noticed when His son did something that was good. And He honored him. And He said it publicly. And I'm not ashamed of my son. Amen. I read recently about a motorist in Louisiana driving down the road. They saw something hanging from a tree by the side of the road. Stopped to investigate, see what it was. Turned out to be the body of a young teenage boy hanging in a tree. There was no identification on the body. There was nothing there but a note that said this in part. It said, "Dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry I was an embarrassment to you." Can you imagine that? A young man feeling like nobody loves him and nobody cares to the point that he would take his own life and at the end of his life leave a note saying, "I'm sorry that I was an embarrassment to you." Far too often young men and young women feel unwanted and unloved. There's something that goes through, and I know this personally, there's something that goes through young boys, especially in puberty, when all those hormones and emotions are going wild, that they wonder if daddy really loves them. They wonder if mama really loves them. Amen. And it probably happens to girls. I don't know. It may happen their whole life as far as I know. But the truth, I'm not being ugly. I'm not, but I don't know about girls. I know about guys. All right. But the thing, I know they go through that stage that they wonder and they just need a little reaffirming, a little more affirmation that you're not ashamed of them, but you love them. Amen. Amen. Well, parents may be embarrassed by their child, but they ought never be embarrassed with their child. Amen. That's still your child, and you can work on those things that embarrass. Amen. Number two, not only the father's not ashamed of his son, but the father adores his son. Amen. He said, "This is my beloved," and I underline that phrase, "my beloved son." He could have said, "This is my only begotten son." That's what Jesus said in John 3:16. But when the Lord spoke about, when God the Father spoke about the Lord Jesus, He called Him my beloved son. That word beloved, I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary of the English language. It says beloved means loved, greatly loved, dear to the heart. Amen. What God was saying, I adore this son. I'm not only not ashamed of him, I love him and esteem him highly. Amen. And he spoke well of his son. Sometimes perhaps the greatest thing that a parent can give to their child outside of bringing them to Jesus, outside of bringing them to the gospel, is the knowledge that they are loved. Amen. Amen. Children can do without a lot of things and turn out all right. But they need love. Amen. They'll never mature properly. They'll never develop properly without love. Amen. Loving and adoring your child does not mean giving in to their every wish. Amen. Amen. But you can tell them what is right and you can show them what is right. Amen. With a heart of love and a desire to see them do right. A desire to see for their welfare, for their benefit, for their betterment. Amen. That's why that you tell them. Amen. I remember when I was a boy growing up, my dad believed in wearing us boys out. Dad would say that, he'd say, "Boys, I'll wear you out." I knew what he meant. I'd been wore out a time or two. Amen. We used to get whoopings. We didn't get whippings. You know, whipping, you live to tell about it. Whoopings, it takes about that close to dying. Amen. We got whoopings when I was growing up. Amen. Amen. But Dad believed in making us do right, but he would say that to us. He'd say, "Boys, I'm doing this for your own benefit." I always wondered, how is this benefiting me? But now that I've grown a little bit, I know how it's benefiting me. Matter of fact, when I was a boy growing up, we lived on a farm course. We had animals to feed, corn to grow. Dad always kept hogs. We raised hogs and not a few. Always kept at least 100 sows. And they'd have pigs by the multitudes. You know how that is. And we'd raise them, sell them for slaughter. Dad, we raised corn. We raised cane, amen. Every young boy gets a chance to raise cane every now and then. And we'd raise cane, make molasses, and we raised taters, different things that we raised to try to make a little bit of money and try to survive on. But I remember Dad would rent fields to plant corn in just to feed to the hogs. Dad actually traded for a corn picker one time, and the thing never was moved out of the weeds. It stayed in the weeds the whole time till he finally sold the thing. We never used it one time. You know why? He said, "I've got two boys." That's what Dad would say. Me and my brother would talk about it. You're going to laugh when I say it was the truth. We talk about it. We said, the only reason Mom and Daddy had youngins was because they outlawed slavery. But all summer long, all summer long, we was working in cornfields. All summer long, when to get down into the late part of the summer, when you go to pulling the corn, and we had to shell the corn, we shelled most of it by hand. Some he did later get a grinder, thank God, amen. When he saw we was about to move off, and but we'd shell a lot of it by hand. We'd carry it, you know, out by hand, and all kinds of stuff. We was workers. But here's what I was going to say: sometimes the boys down the road and up the holler from where we live, then they'd be going fishing every day. They'd be going swimming every day. They'd be wandering the road, seemed like every day. And we'd ask Dad, "Can we go play basketball with them? Can we go swimming with them? Can we do?" And Dad would say, "When you get your chores done, but you got to get your chores done." Now, most of them, he had it figured out. The chores were getting on about dark. Seemed like that way as a boy. But I grew up thinking, boy, them boys just got it made. You know what? Today, they're still on welfare. Them boys are still on welfare. They won't hold a job. Amen. They won't work. They still wander the roads day and night. Amen. I thought Dad was being hard on us. You know what he was doing? He wasn't raising corn. He was raising boys. Amen. He wasn't raising hogs. He was raising boys. And we, some of me and him both turned out to be a hog. Amen. But he was raising boys. Amen. Well, I'm talking about for their benefit. Do it for their benefit. Now, I'll throw this in and I'm going to move to my next point about in that love. Sometimes you do have to demand some things. Sometimes you have to expect some things. But don't expect or demand your children to do right just simply so they don't make you look bad. Right. You know that. Sometimes people do that, I'm afraid, because their children embarrass them in public. And so they, you know, boy, they just fly in a rage and they get all upset about that. You ought to want them to do right for their benefit. Amen. So they can grow up to be honorable citizens. Amen. They can grow up to be honorable men and honorable ladies. Amen. Amen. Do it for their benefit. Amen. You may very well have to tell your child no. You may very well have to respond negatively to some things. But even when you have to say no, love responds firmly, but as gentle as possible. That's how love responds. Amen. The father is not ashamed of his son. Number two, the father adores his son. Number three, the father accepts his son. Look at our phrase again, verse 17. And the Lord, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am," and I underline these two words, "well pleased." See, God the Father looked upon his son. His son had become a man. And God the Father looked upon his son. It's as if he said, "I approve of you, son." He saw the man that Christ had come to be. You know what he's doing? He's taking his place among the transgressors. He's stepping in line, obeying the Father's will. By the way, our Lord in that baptism was in the process of beginning the church. Amen. In the process of pulling together those elements. Amen. That's going to be used to form the church. And when God the Father looked upon the work of His Son, He said, "I accept the work of my Son. I approve of the work of my Son." Amen. Now, I know this is all running in some of the same vein, but we all know sometimes our children don't turn out exactly like we want them to. Sometimes there are things that we look at and we may be a little bit disappointed. They don't reach as high a standard as we might expect for them to do. After all, now wait a minute, listen, after all, who does not live in some form of a fantasy world when they're thinking about their children? Amen. I remember when I was a boy in school, they told us that any little boy could grow up and be president. And I didn't believe that until this last one got in. But they tell us that. They'd say anybody. Every one of us want to be president all of a sudden. And you know what? Our dads probably thought we could. Amen. But sometimes we have a little overreaching imagination as to what our children are going to be. And we do live in a fantasy where our children may make mistakes along the way. Matter of fact, our children will make mistakes along the way. Amen. They may get into trouble. They may not be as successful as you wish or you think they could be. But I'm going to say this, and this hurts. But remember that the traits about those children that bother you the most are probably the ones that mirror you the most. That's probably true, isn't it? Amen. They learn by our example. Amen. And sometimes those things that bother us are the very things that mirror us. Amen. There are 10 million things, I just used that number out of the blue, that could go wrong in the life or in the ideals that we have for their life. Things that we think they ought to be or things they might not do that we wish they would. But, let me say this, if your child is seeking to please the Lord, if your child's trying their best to obey the Lord Jesus as Jesus was doing the Father here, then we ought to let them know that we not only accept them, but we approve of the way they're going. Amen. That we're glad that they're in the house of God. That we're glad that they're going after the things of God. That we're glad that they're striving to be what they ought to be for the glory of God. Amen. Now, I do need to put a note here. I've got a couple of notes. One to the children, a warning to the children. If you're going to live like the devil, please don't expect your parents to approve of you living like the devil. Amen. That is first of all, it's an impossibility. If they're a godly parent, they can't approve of you living in sin. Amen. They can't approve of that. And they can't, you're asking more than a godly parent can give. Amen. And by the way, there will be love, but sometimes love must be tough. Amen. Don't expect your parents to approve of you living in a way that you know is wrong. Parents do their children no favor when they offer them blanket approval for their sinful ways. Amen. Amen. Perhaps your disapproval is just the wake-up call that they need to get right and repent of their sin. Amen. Amen. And then the second is a warning to the parents. When your children fail and make mistakes and then get right about it, don't hold it over their heads indefinitely. Amen. Don't keep bringing it up. Don't keep reminding them of their mistakes. Amen. You've probably heard Brother Sammy talks about burying the hatchet, handle and all. That's the way he says it. He said a lot of people bury the hatchet, leave the handle hanging out. Next time trouble comes along, they go back, they know where the handle is. They jerk that thing back out and go to chopping again. Amen. He says when you bury the hatchet, you ought to bury it handle and all. I say amen.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Realize that we have all messed up sometimes.
Right.
And again, it's not excusing it, but it is saying that it is a fact. We have all messed up sometimes. And thank God there is forgiveness for people that mess up. Amen. Thank God there is hope for people that mess up. And some people can learn from their mistakes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me now to John chapter 5. I'll give you my last point, and I'll be finished. John chapter 5 and verse 17 through 20. Again, it's not really a verse on parenting, but you can see the father and the son relationship as the Lord speaking about His Father. Verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Amen. Stop right there. Jesus is telling these men that are gathered around, these that would listen, He's telling them that since the Father loves Him, the Son, then the Father includes the Son in what He's doing. Amen. And so at this point, the Father apprentices the Son. He not only appreciates Him, but He apprentices Him. In other words, He trains Him. Jesus said, the works I'm doing is the works I've seen my Father do. Amen. He's not talking about learning carpentry through Joseph, although He must have, because in one place they said, is not this the carpenter's son? In another place they said, is not this the carpenter? And so they thought Jesus was a carpenter, because Joseph, who was his not His biological father, but His adopted father, I guess you'd say, they thought that since He was a carpenter, our Lord would be a carpenter. But Jesus said, I've seen what my Father in heaven is doing, and I'm working the works of my Father on the earth. Amen. He's telling us that the Father is working, the Father loves the Son, and therefore the Father shows the Son what He's doing. Amen. Now I have to learn right there. And my dad, my dad's made the statement. He wishes that he'd have learned this lesson. When I was growing up, my dad would change the brakes on our car. Their car. I was too young to drive. He'd change the brakes on our car, and me and my brother would want to get out there around him. He didn't have time for us to be around him. He was so angry. And my dad had a short temper when we was growing up. I don't know why. When me and my brother was at home, my dad had such a short temper. We moved out, and he got easy to get along with. But seriously, he would run us back and tell us, go do something, get away from him. He said since then he wished he'd taken time to teach us those things. I wish he had too. But I found myself following in the same track. Sometimes my children want to come along and do. It's a lot quicker just let me do it. Amen. It's a lot easier just to let me do it and send them on out of the way instead of me trying to explain to them, because they got a million questions, and after about two, we're done. Yeah, ain't it right? They got a million questions. Why you do it that way? Well, then why don't you do it the other way? Well, what you know? And they got all this stuff, you know. Listen, they're learning. I'm not saying that you have to stop everything and everything has to be a teaching session, but every now and then there ought to be some training. Every now and then there ought to be some apprenticeship. Every now and then they ought to learn by watching us do what we're doing. Amen. I remember hearing this in school, that the best way to teach your children to learn to read is for you to love reading. And if they see you loving reading, they'll love to read. And buddy, I picked that up. My mom and dad are both readers, and I'm a reader. You can ask my wife, if I'm sitting still, I'm reading something. I read all the time. I'll read a can of hairspray. I'm serious. I'm reading something all the time. And you wouldn't believe the stuff that's in that stuff either. Amen. But I learned it because I saw my mom and dad loved it. If you don't act like you love church, they probably won't. If you don't act like you love the Word of God, love praying, love living for God, they probably won't either. If it's a drudgery to you, it'll be a drudgery to them. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, they learn by watching what we're doing. Amen. And so the son said, my father loves me, and so he shows me what he's doing. And when he shows the son his work, this is the invitation of the father that the son do the same things. Amen. By the way, that still works today. A godly father needs to take time to include his children in his life. He models the appropriate behavior for them, and more often than not, they'll follow in his example. Amen. Thank God for godly mothers. If it wasn't for godly mothers, a lot of homes would be in trouble. If it wasn't for godly women, a lot of churches would be in trouble. But I'm telling you, godly fathers have much more impact on their sons, and maybe daughters in some degree, than even the mother does in the relationship of the house of God and the things of God. That's why God said to the husband, the dad's supposed to be the priest of the home. Amen. 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 Children need some of our time. They need to be involved in our lives. I've got a story here, a couple of stories written down. I've got one just came to my mind I'm reminded of. I'll tell you these and then move on. I read about a young man who was being sentenced to the penitentiary for forgery. This was in England. He's going to be sent off for forgery. The judge had known this young man from childhood. He knew his dad because this young man's dad was a famous lawyer and a famous writer. Matter of fact, he was a legal scholar, had written an exhaustive study called The Law of Trusts. And he raised a forger in his home. The magistrate, as he was about to sentence the young man, said, "Do you remember your father?" The young man replied, "I remember him well, Your Honor." Then, trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, "As you're about to be sentenced, and as you think about your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him?" There was a pause, a long pause. And then the judge received an answer that he had not expected. The young man replied, "I remember, sir, when I went to him for advice, he looked up to me from the book he was writing and said, 'Run along, boy, I'm busy.' He said, 'When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away and said, 'Run along, son, this book must be finished.' Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer and a great writer. I remember him as a lousy father and a long-lost friend." The magistrate muttered to himself, "Alas, he finished the book, but lost the boy." I'm telling you, that sinks into me. And it ought to probably sink into every father. God help us show our children godliness. Amen. Time spent with children is an investment. Right. I preached a message one time years ago. I titled it, Wasting Time Wisely. Amen. And really, I was talking about, our Lord said, come apart. Amen. And somebody said, if you don't come apart and rest a while, you'll come apart. Sometimes there's a need for a vacation, not a 2-week one necessarily, but a vacation. Amen. That's just a personal barb. Amen. Just kidding. There's a need for spending time with your family. Amen. They said that Charles Adams, who was the son of President John Adams, brother to John Quincy Adams, Charles Adams, one day, John Adams wrote in his diary, here's what he said, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. But the boy, however, had a different perspective. The entry in his diary for that day said, went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you one more story, and I don't mean just to tell story. This is becoming one of them skyscraper messages, just story on top of story. I heard Paul Harvey tell the story once, and it's along these same lines about spending time with your family and showing them. By the way, if we're not careful, this electronic age, you can be sitting watching the same show, but you're not communicating. Because if they say something, you say, shut up, they're getting to the good part. Amen. That's not family entertainment. All right now. That is right. These dads spending Father's Day around the television. Little Johnny comes up to him, wants to hug his neck. He said, get out of my way. Dale Jr.'s about to pass one of them. That ain't right. Amen. Amen. Here's what Paul Harvey said. I don't mean to do it, but I get on it every time. Here's what Paul Harvey said. Paul Harvey said, his little boy, his dad came home from work one day, and his son went to him and he said, Dad, he said, how much do they pay you an hour? And his dad was tired, a little bit ill. He said, ain't none of your business, boy. Get on back to your room. Little boy went to his room. A little while later, the dad got feeling bad about it, went up to check on him, looked in, little boy's laying across his bed crying. His dad went in and said, son, I don't know why he was asking, but he said, you asked me how much they pay me. He said, I make $20 an hour. The little boy quit crying, reached over to his piggy bank, pulled out $20. And he said, could I buy an hour of your time? Can I tell you that the greatest truth that you could ever give your children is the truth of the gospel, the truth about God. Amen. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest truth you can ever give your children. But the only way they'll believe that is if they learn they can believe you about these other things. Amen. You got to be honest with them. You got to take time with them. You got to not just preach to them. You got to love them and live before them. Amen. Somebody said this in her right. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen. Amen. Dads, are you sure about your own children's salvation, about their soul? Are you pointing them to Jesus? Are you praying for them and their salvation? Are you living a consistent Christian life? And then I'll flip it around. How about, are the children sure about your salvation? Have they ever heard your testimony? Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. They come with a song. Now, I don't think for a minute that any of us as earthly fathers will ever reach the level of perfection of our Heavenly Father. But He shows us some illustrations in the Scripture how He treated His Son and how we can learn to treat our children as well. Amen. Amen. I've heard that in our prisons across America, I heard this on Chuck Colson's program years ago on the radio. He had a program to prisoners. They would provide cards for prisoners, Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards. He said they sent out Mother's Day cards in the hundreds of thousands. Father's Day cards were rarely used. Did you know on Father's Day, I read this and I guess you can check it out. And on Father's Day, more collect calls are made than any other day of the year. You know why? Because a lot of times fathers have not earned the respect they ought to. God, help us. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us, Lord, at this time. Lord, I want to be a better father. I know my children are grown, but I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know that I applaud them living for Jesus. Although there are things maybe that I would tweak and things that I would wish were a little bit different here or there, Lord, I want to point them in the right direction. And I want to, if I can, push them and persuade them in the right direction. But I can only do that through love. And Father, as You demonstrated Your love to Your Son, You told it, You showed it, and He lived it. Lord, I pray, help us do the same. And work in this time according to Thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to come, the altar's open. You can do business with the Lord if you need to. What are we singing, brother?
Page 223.
Obey the Lord while we sing.